Next spring, Selena Suarez will lead the University of Arkansas Honors College signature seminar, The Science, Politics, and Culture of Dinosaurs. She'll also discuss dinosaurs in a public lecture that's a preview of the class via Zoom Tuesday evening at 5:15. Recently, we invited her to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio. I asked her about the long reign of dinosaurs.
230 million years to 66 million years ago of true non-avian dinosaurs, but they're still with us today in the form of birds. So birds are direct descendants from dinosaurs. So they're probably one of the most successful organisms ever to live on Earth, besides maybe like cockroaches or, you know, squids.
They don't always get that sort of credit.
They don't. But interestingly, dinosaurs have occupied all different ecospaces from, you know, the air to the land to the sea. They swim, they walk, they run, they fly. So, and all of this is from the beginnings of dinosaurs back 230 million years ago.
So when you're dealing with an organism that lasted for so long, how do you condense that into an honors?
Oh, yeah. How do you condense that? And then also how you bring in other aspects of dinosaur research into like an honors course? Probably by hitting on a bunch of different topics and then having the students go out and do research on their own in topics that interest them. So, for example, people study the biomechanics of dinosaurs. An engineer can easily start delving into how do paleontologists study biomechanics in dinosaurs. You know, we have amazing paleo artists that reconstruct dinosaurs, bring them to life both in 2D media to 3D and video media. You know, art student, go research how they do that. How would you do that? How can you bring to life a dinosaur? Pick a specific dinosaur, for example, or setting. And so, like, kind of through all of these different subjects, we're going to try to bring together the vast history of dinosaurs from 230 million years to 66 million years, to controversies on how they became extinct, research into what caused them to evolve to be such a successful organism 230 million years ago.
I mean, again, when you're talking the amount of time the non-avian dinosaurs were on the planet, that's a lot of time to change. And a lot of things did change. I mean,
yep.
The climate, the environment would change over the course of that time.
Correct. And throughout most of dinosaurs' history, they were existing in what climate scientists would call a greenhouse state. So, like, the climate was in a greenhouse state during that time period. But that during that time period, we also saw short-term hyperthermal events where we went into, like, hothouse state, or really, really hot, like, global temperatures of, like, 36 degrees Celsius. So and dinosaurs can help us understand that. We could look at how the animals changed before, during, and after some of these hypothermal events and relate some of that climate change to modern climate change that we see today.
An organism that hasn't existed on the planet for tens of millions of years can teach us something about now?
Oh, yeah. Definitely, yeah. I mean, there's so much information contained within a single specimen or a series of specimens that you see through a rock record, which is basically time. And so we can use those organisms, both their occurrence, how they changed, the chemical content of their bones, for example, can tell us about what they ate, what they drank, and how that changed over time. And what, for example, herbivores eat is basically plants. So how did plants change over time? Plants are directly related to climate. So if climate changes, plants change. So through all of these linkages, we can start looking at, you know, the world between 230 and 66 million years ago, how the climate changed through that time and how we can compare it to today.
Can what we learn about these animals also maybe adapt how we research other things?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So I would say paleontology is going through a really interesting time period. And we'll talk a little bit about this as well in the class, like the history of dinosaur research from like the 1800s, at least by Western society from the 1800s on. We could actually even go even further back to like Native Americans and how they revere dinosaurs as gods, like the Thunderbird, for example. Paleontology today is starting to use such a wide variety of sciences, from chemistry, physics, modeling, artificial intelligence and machine learning, like all of these different types of science disciplines are fed into paleontology. And so, yeah, it's actually really amazing what we can do today with dinosaur paleontology.
Now, I imagine the challenge, we've all seen movies.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, even before Jurassic Park, what was the Lost World, the silent film, and of course, King Kong. So we have these ideas through pop culture of what dinosaurs might have looked like, been like, or behaved like. Mm-hmm. So you've kind of, I imagine as a paleontologist, you have to sort of...
That's something I want to explore as well. So any students that are interested in media, okay, how has the depiction of dinosaurs changed through time? How do we link that with what scientists were thinking at that time? How does our perception of what a scientist is or what a paleontologist is, how has that changed through time? And that's certainly like an area that paleontologists are really trying to remediate, because like the image of a paleontologist is, you know, for lack of a better word, an old white guy digging in the desert, you know, with a pick and a hammer. That's not exactly what paleontology is today. There's a wide variety of people that study paleontology, and you don't always have to go out into the field. I personally love going out into the field, but not everybody likes going out into the field. You don't have to study paleontology and have to go out into the field. You can study museums. You can be a chemist. You could be a physicist, modeler.
Well, and you're not an old white guy.
Nope.
I mean, so just by you being in front of a class or in front of an audience talking about dinosaurs, that probably shaves away some stereotypes right there.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, 20 years ago, if you asked like a 5-year-old, hey, draw a paleontologist, they wouldn't draw me. So that imagery is starting to change. And it's something a lot of the paleontology societies are really starting to focus on.
And that brings up a point. I have to admit, I was not as knowledgeable. When I think of the earliest dinosaur hunters or researchers, I think of these competitive European people kind of stealing bones or not really doing ethical things or not knowing what an ethical thing is to do with the bone. But then you mentioned Native Americans, and I have to admit, until 5 minutes ago, I hadn't thought of Native Americans and dinosaurs.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's hopefully another aspect that we'll cover within the class is what are some of the Native histories pertaining to dinosaurs, because they were there, they saw them, they had their own mythologies and explanations for what they were. And then also some of those were revered like resources on Native lands in you know, the late 1800s, Manifest Destiny. Scientists, USGS, were sending scientists out west to find resources, and one of those resources ended up being fossils, with no regard to what was taken from what Native lands. And so a hot topic right now also in paleontology is repatriation of material that was excavated from Native lands back to those Native populations.
There aren't many subjects that have such a long history, but such a relatively brief time researching that history. And I'm wondering, are you ever, I don't know if frustrated is the right word, but are you ever anxious about what we still don't know?
To a certain extent, that's job security.
Right.
So the more we don't know, the more stuff that we can research, the more opportunities for my students to go into researching. So I don't think it makes me anxious or anything like that or frustrated. The slow pace of the way science works is frustrating, the slow pace of getting funding to do research. The questions are there. You know, the opportunities are there. It's just the pace is what's frustrating, really, to do what we want to do.
Well, like, I would love, and maybe we do, maybe you're going to correct me, I would love to know what colors every dinosaur was.
Yeah.
And can we?
Some things, yes, we can get an idea. Particularly, there's a couple of avenues that paleontologists have gone to for that. So there are dinosaurs that do preserve feathers. You can use synchrotron spectroscopy to look at the shape of, I can't remember what they're called. It starts with an M, if I remember correctly. But these little structures within the feathers that when you look at them, the density and the size of them I believe, give you light versus dark color. Mm. So we can go to some of these really well-preserved feathers and look at them with the synchrotron and be like, okay, that feather was a dark feather. That was a light feather. That was an iridescent feather. And then I think there's some geochemical work that people are starting to use, looking at like biomarkers of different colors for keratin. And so we could, if the preservation is good and if you have enough material to try to study it, then yeah, there's a possibility that we can know what color some dinosaurs were. Some we have no feathers, skin, nothing. You can use your imagination that the paleo artists use.
And the big one, I want to know what they sounded like.
Yeah, that would be – So I know some people have been doing research on endocasts, like the brain casts. So basically they scan the inside of a dinosaur skull and kind of reconstruct the brain. And if you can reconstruct the brain, you can reconstruct different parts of the brain and the parts of the brain that have sound and get an idea of kind of what pitches of sound they might have been able to listen to. And then there's organisms like Parasaurolophus, you know, that had big horns, you know, and there's been all kinds of research on okay, if the organism blew air through the horn this way, what would it have sounded like? So there's some inklings as to what they may have sounded like. And there's some linkages with birds. Obviously, they're one of the most direct relatives, birds and crocodiles. And so you could go into the modern and look at birds today and be like, okay, well, what are the different sounds birds can make and how do they make them? And, you know, does it make sense for an organism this big to make a sound like that?
And I got to ask this because as a kid, I first became fascinated with dinosaurs through the old movies, mm-hmm. the stop animation work of Willis O'Brien and Ray Harryhausen. Do you remember what ignited?
We had a dinosaur section in second grade that I definitely remember. And I remember the teachers put the size of the tracks down the hallway in tape. I remember that vividly. I remember all the funny little songs that we sang. And then, ironically, I remember watching and this is not paleontology, but I remember – and probably not even ethical at all for archaeology, but watching Indiana Jones as a kid, being like, wow, that's what it is to be a professor and look for old things. That's amazing. Now, that was definitely not ethical if you think about it today. But right. To a 5 or 6 year old, it was like, this is amazing, adventure. Being a professor is adventurous. It is adventurous in many ways, I guess. But yeah, so a combination of those two things and growing up in the Texas Hill Country, I used to always go rock hounding and find rocks and fossils and stuff like that. And so, I mean, I always thought I was going to dig up a dinosaur in my backyard, and I just never grew out of that phase. And I think my twin sister also she's a geologist as well. And so, you know, we kind of both spurred our imagination on with each other and just kind of kept at it and always wanted to stay researching dinosaur paleontology. I would say I'm not like a paleontologist proper because I don't do as much description of organisms, but I do – I mean, I have, but it's not exactly the area of paleontology I'm most interested in. I mostly focus on like the chemistry of the bones and the teeth and what can tell us about climate. But I never grew out of wanting to be a paleontologist.
Selena Suarez is Associate Professor of Geosciences at the University of Arkansas. Next spring, she leads a University of Arkansas Honors College signature seminar series called The Science, Politics, and Culture of Dinosaurs. Tuesday evening at 5:15, she'll deliver a public preview of the class via Zoom. We have a link to a form that will allow you to attend that virtual lecture at ozarksatlarge.com.